Good morning. I'm Jeremy Africa, lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship today, I welcome you to our time together. It's wonderful to gather with you here in the sanctuary as well as online, and let us anticipate encountering our living God today in worship. As we begin our time together, I want to highlight some of what is happening here at the church, ways for you to connect and to be a part of the church's life and mission. And to begin with, I'm going to hand things off to Beth Hyde, who serves as our co-leader of our member care team, for an announcement about intergenerational Valentines. Beth?
Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning, church family. I wanted to let you know about a ministry that we're going to do for Valentine's Day. Pastor Jeremy and Bethany have been talking the last couple of weeks about being the body of Christ and each person be a member of that body and how we each bring our gifts and talents to this church. So we've started with some Valentines that have been made by our children and youth in Sunday school over the last couple of weeks under the direction of Hillary Ferguson, who we greatly appreciate. We've also had the Tuesday S3 ladies make a batch of these Valentines. And so if you helped make any of the Valentines, I don't know whether we've got any kids or youth, but I appreciate what you've done to produce the Valentines. And they're positioned in cards with names on them in the eaves of the windows of the church on the brick walls. The recipients of these Valentines are folks on our visitation list, along with others who we thought might enjoy a Valentine to brighten their day. Our seniors of all ages have been the backbone of our church, serving in children's ministry, music ministry, rummage sales, teams, and we greatly appreciate their time and talents and service across the years. We're blessed to have them and want them to feel valued by our congregation. The photo you see behind me is the Tuesday S3 ladies praying over these Valentines to ask God to bless each recipient to feel loved, appreciated, and remembered. So to complete this circle, we need the help of all of you. We'll bridge from the young to our seniors. And what I'd like to do is to encourage people to pick one or two Valentines, look at the name, and if possible, go do a short visit with the recipient and let them know that they're remembered and valued by our congregation and by their church family. And if they aren't ready for a visit, that's okay. You can leave the Valentine or, if necessary, mail it to them. Some of the names are folks who regularly attend here, so you're welcome to grab one of those names and just hand it off to them with a quick message of letting them know how they're appreciated. The good part is that you can do this anytime during the month of February. It does not have to be on Valentine's Day, so it's got a lot of flexibility. If you have questions, you can contact me or Melanie in the office for more information. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth, for sharing that opportunity with our congregation on behalf of our member care team. Appreciate the team's ministry very much. Next, I want to hand things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who has an announcement regarding our Bible giveaway and blast.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. We have an exciting event coming up next week for our children. If they are in third grade or have not received a Bible, we will be giving away Bibles in worship, similar to what we did last year, if you remember that. And then we will have what we're calling a Bible blast after worship, where first we'll eat and then we'll have a time where we teach the children how to use their Bibles, how to dig into the Word of God, how to look things up. It'll be a fun time. We'll play some games. There'll be some fun things that go along with that. And so I would invite you, parents, to check your email. And then I understand that there's also communication through Sunday school. If you have not received communication, please let myself or Hillary Ferguson know, or call the office, and we'll be happy to connect with you to make sure that your child gets a Bible. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you. So an exciting opportunity for our families. Encourage you to be mindful of that coming up here in February. Finally, I want to highlight for us a collection that we are taking up here at the church to support the work of the United Methodist Committee on Relief. That is the denomination's arm that does missions and supports those in need. And so we are taking up a collection to go towards UMCOR's relief efforts following the wildfires in California. As many of you know, these fires erupted early this past January, burning over 23,000 acres, resulting in the loss of 29 people or perhaps more, and thousands of structures, including homes. And so if you wish to give towards the relief efforts being done by UMCOR, invite you to please write wildfire relief in the memo of your check made out to the church or on the offering envelope. You can place these in the offering plates on Sunday morning or send them into the church office, and we'll be sure to direct your gift towards UMCOR. We're collecting these gifts through February 16th, and so if you need any additional information, you'll find that in our weekly e-blast, which you can receive from the church office if you aren't yet receiving those. And so I invite you to contact the church office if you need to do that. But with all of that, those are the highlights we will announce. I encourage you to be mindful of what's happening in the church through those e-blasts and through your life here at the church. But for now, I'm going to invite you to stand and to greet one another. And if you would, please remain standing after I ring the bell for our call to worship.
For the call to worship, the words can be found in your bulletin or on the screen in front of you. Anything done without love is just a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, even if we give away all we have. Love is patient, kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love never ends, and because of this, it is most important. One day we will see and know as we are known. What a gift it is to have been created by the God who is love, to reflect his love. Thanks be to God.
Let us remain standing as we join one another in our opening hymn, The Gift of Love. You'll find this on page 408 of our hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you. except for the children. Come on down. Oh. Good morning. How are you, Kat? So glad to see you. Good morning, everybody. How are you? So good to see you. Okay, today's lesson is that Jesus is God's Word. And so we're going to learn that word, Jesus. We're going to learn how to read it and spell it and write it. It is all about Jesus, God's Word. John the Baptist taught that Jesus brought grace and truth, God, into the world. The disciple John wrote, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth." That's from John 1:14. Next week, some of our friends will be receiving Bibles and attending Bible Blast, taking one more step into God's Word. And thank you, congregation. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, Holy Jesus, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for coming into the world to be God's Word. Amen. We can go to Sunday school. Thank you.
we come to a time of offering, I would also like to invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pews and pass them down to the end of your pew, and you can pass them back when everyone's signed. It helps us to get to know our neighbors better. The ushers, please come forward. Lord, we thank you for these gifts and that Jesus came so that we would have life and have it abundantly. All that we have to give is all that we have already been given. And we can give out of our abundance because you take care of everything. Lord, I pray that you would bless these gifts and bless your people and further your kingdom in whatever ways you see fit. Lord, we thank you for all that you give to us, and it is a privilege to give back to you. We love you. We thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before we start, I want to take note and thank our families who get their kids packed up and ready to go to church. I'm blessed that Cara, my spouse, is the one who wrangles Andrew together on Sunday mornings and really much of the week. But I am mindful it's a lot of work to get children ready and going and somewhere. So thank you again to parents who are raising their kids in the church and planting God's love in them and allowing their spirit and their energy to be among us as we worship. So just a word of thank you. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If we worshiped together last week, you might remember that we considered God's unforced rhythms of grace for the church. In other words, we considered God's intentions, God's ways for us as the church, and for us to be as the body of Christ. And we did so by turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul's words calling the church, calling us to embrace our being made up of many parts, to embrace finding our wholeness in the coming together of our differences. And believe it or not, as I pondered all of this reminded me of gym class. Gym class, of all things, in high school. Now I get it, with me being in my 50s, it might be difficult for you to imagine what I might have looked like back then. Therefore, to better illustrate this story, I've asked our audiovisual team to project my school photo. There we go. From my high school yearbook, freshman year. So my first year at Grosse Pointe North High School, Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan, my favorite class, bar none, is gym. I mean, what's there not to like about gym? You get to run around. You get to show off your athletic abilities and otherwise pal around with your friends. So gym class for me freshman year is going great. The unit on soccer is fun, second only to flag football. It's just as fun as floor hockey, basketball, volleyball, oh, and even pickleball. Who knew it back then? Pickleball. It is all very fun until the unit on aerobics. Oh, yes, you get it already. And so to fully appreciate this picture that I had in my mind all week, you must rewind to the early 1990s. Keep in mind that this was before Michael Jordan introduced in the NBA and the Fab Five in college, before they introduced the baggy gym shorts that we're accustomed to. So there I am, 14 years old, in my Isaiah Thomas / John Stockton type gym shorts. And I'm in this reversible cotton t-shirt that's really thick and doesn't sweat well, and it was probably a half size too small because I washed it in warm water, right? And there I am doing my best to follow the aerobics instructor on the VHS tape, playing on a 27-inch glass tube television at the front of my class. And what I remember most about this awful experience is how uncoordinated and outright clunky it made me feel. Far from the unforced rhythms of grace, nothing I did felt right. Nothing I did felt natural in that moment. Whether it was the steps back and forth, the lunges from side to side, or the jumping jacks, or any other movement that had me going up and down, nothing felt right, nothing felt natural, nothing felt unforced about it. And I wonder if sometimes if this is how we feel as the church. To be the church in the way that God intends. To embrace being made up and being made whole by our different parts, our different thoughts, our different understandings and beliefs. Indeed, being the church, being the body of Christ, as God intends, can be hard. Yet, the Apostle Paul writes at the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, leading up to chapter 13, Paul writes this. But now, let me show you the way that is best of all. Let me show you the way that is best of all. In other words, Paul is saying, let me show you how all this works and how all this comes together. For you, the church, to be the church in the way that God intends. For the church to be the very presence of Christ in the world today. It's here that Paul shares some of the most familiar words of the Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious or boastful, arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things and believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is a necessity. Whether we're talking here at the church or even in just living according to the unforced rhythms of grace in the other arenas of our life, whether in our homes, our community, our place of work, and in all the ways, whether we like it or not, that we live interconnected lives. Love is a necessity. That is, if we're going to live according to the way that God would have us live. And let's be clear. We're not talking here just about any kind of love. Nor are we talking about a love on our own terms. No, instead, Paul is forthright. The love that God requires is the love that God has defined for us in God's terms. Indeed, the very love we've been sent in Jesus Christ, and the love we witness in one another when we're being the church according to God's ways. While Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about a love that goes well beyond the bounds and the covenant of marriage, I believe we can still catch a glimmer of the love that Paul is talking about here in that which is shared between a couple. But to be sure, the sort of love that Paul is pointing to here is not the kind of love we experience on first dates or when what is shared can best be described as puppy love. Nor is the love that Paul is talking about here, it's not the sort of love that is shared as one dates and transitions into courtship or gets engaged. The love here that Paul writes about for the church, it's not the love that's expressed on a wedding day. Or even when a couple exchanges their vows. I would even venture to say that a couple is just beginning to scratch the surface of the sort of love that Paul is describing here when they start to reflect on what it has truly meant to have said, "I do." No, I think the kind of love that is required for a church to be the church and for this journey we call faith, I think that kind of love is the kind of love a couple only recognizes towards the end. As a pastor, I've been blessed to be in homes and at bedsides where such a love is so apparent. It's here that couples often reflect on how neither has been perfect. Nor has their marriage always been easy. It's here that couples often reflect on how they didn't always have what they wanted, but often had what they needed. Indeed, it's often here that they said and say that it's been worth it all, having encountered God's best along the way, for better or worse. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The best of all is, in writing these words, Paul isn't speaking directly here about marriage, is he? Instead, in showing us a way of life that is best of all, Paul is talking about the church. Paul is talking about who we are. And everything we can be if we love God and we love one another. Amen? Amen. One of the ways that we share in this love with one another is to pray for one another. And so we gather in prayer this morning. And as we do so, let us extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Judy Lamont, who passed away on January 27th. Let us pray. Loving God, as our Creator and having been created in your image, you are the one who sets the rhythm to our life. It is in following your ways, O Lord, that you invite us to live lightly and freely. And Lord, having walked among us, you know how easy it is to fall outside of that rhythm, to fall out of step with your grace and your ways. Indeed, oh Lord, no area of our life is immune or free from the difficulty sometimes of loving one another. And yet, Lord, in Jesus Christ and through the words of the Apostle Paul, you're singing this love into our lives. Lord, as a church and as followers of Jesus Christ, we just pray that you would open our hearts to your love. The kind of love that bears all things. The kind of love that endures all things and hopes all things. The sort of love that remains through it all. Open our eyes to this love all around us, oh God. While we may not be perfect in this way, help us to know it more and more, that we might love you in this way, love one another, love our community, love others and the world around us. Free us, O Lord, for joyful obedience. We pray this in the one who has shown us this love. Amen. So on this Sunday wherein we focus on God's love and loving one another, very fitting that we share in Holy Communion. Communion's an opportunity to grab hold of God's love for us, to commune with God, to commune with the church universal, and to commune here at Christ's table with one another. And there's a poignant prayer at the end that sometimes gets lost on us because we pray it quite often when we celebrate communion. And Pastor Bethany will lead us in praying it at the very end, where we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to what? Make us one with Christ. And to make us one with one another. And to make us one in ministry to all the world. As we consider the love that Paul has given to us in this wonderful chapter in the Bible, may that prayer take a special meaning among us. I want to remind you that as a United Methodist Church, we practice open communion. So all are invited but not required to share in communion this morning. You need not be a member of this church or any other church to share in communion this morning. We simply ask that if you do partake in communion, that you would have your heart and mind open to God's love in your life. This morning, we have the bread and the gluten-free bread that has been set aside. The gluten-free bread is within the bowls on each of the plates. If you're needing the gluten-free elements, I invite you to receive the bread there. We'll also have three stations here at the front this morning. I invite you to use the station that is closest and open to you. So with all this, let us prepare our hearts to receive this gift of God's love. I invite you to turn to page 12 of the hymnal, if you wish, where you will find our prayers and responsive readings, or your portion will also be on the screen behind Pastor Bethany and I. Let us receive this love that God has given us. I remind us that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take these moments to confess our sins to our loving God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed
is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many partake in one bread, and are one through Jesus Christ. And though we are many, we are made one through the cup of Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite forward those who are coming to help serve communion this morning. As Christ has invited us all.
The body of Christ broken for you.
And having love, been love, help us to love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand and join us in singing our closing hymn, God the Spirit, Guide and Guardians, on page 648 of the hymnal or on the screen behind me. Shared a brief but wonderful conversation on the way into church, and it reminded me that we really can't forgive others until we realize that we too have been forgiven. Yes? And thinking about Paul's words, I'm reminded that we can't love well until we remember that we have been loved well. And so this week, I want to encourage you as a church to give God space to love you. Maybe that's in your Bible study or reading and reflecting on how God loves you. Maybe it's just an extra long look in the mirror in the morning. And instead of lamenting about this wrinkle or this gray hair that's sneaking in, be reminded that you are made in the image of God. Maybe it's not doing this week, but it's just giving yourself a little bit extra time in the day to sit down, to breathe, and enjoy a cup of tea or coffee, to be reminded that you are loved, and having been loved, may we love others. Amen? Amen. Amen.